The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And we are gone to Carolina with probably the coolest lieutenant governor in the nation. No, not probably. The coolest lieutenant governor in the nation.
Oh, my friend Pamela Ebbett.
Okay, you got to know that my texters are writing in that you need to be a vice president on that ticket there somewhere. So I'm like, well, why not president? And so we'll get that conversation started.
Well, that's very kind of them. And I take that. If I already didn't feel it was an honor to serve the people of the state, that really puts me over the top. But I got to ask you, Deb, you know, I do a radio show in Horry County right before I come on Joey's show. And the word of the day, which I think is going to be hashtag, ridiculosity. Did you see the governor's video?
No, not yet.
People are loving the word ridiculosity, Deb. He said yesterday that, you know, school districts forcing children to wear masks when their parents don't want them to, and there's no evidence that it's helping in classrooms, that classrooms have been safe, is just the height of ridiculosity. And that's all seems, I think it's going to be a hashtag by the end of the day.
People are loving the word. Funny. Actually, I've had somebody who wrote in asking me to ask you a question, and that is the topic. Let me find them real quick. Okay, I'll tell you what. Tell me what's going on in Columbia. Let's talk about Tim Scott. What do you think? Obviously, we were proud.
Oh, my gosh. I think he did a great job. I think he did a lot. You know, that's the other thing we talked about. Tim Scott came out yesterday and basically said, we got to just treat each other as people. And let's stop labeling and coming up with, you know, groups and pits. It pits us apart. I think the meaning of it was hit home, especially with what's going on, you know, across our country these days. But him talking about, you know, the American dream. I mean, you know, you, Deb, have heard me talk about this a lot. My grandparents were immigrants. I mean, there's nobody that understands, you know, the yearning of the American dream like I do because I heard it firsthand. So I love that he talked about that. I love that he talked about how we did come together. You know, like the COVID plans that came out under the Trump administration, 90% of Congress voted together on that. Where now that they have power, he highlighted the power grab that's happening, the fact that they're not spending money on anything that has to do with what they're calling these bills,
right?
Infrastructure bill. They're not spending on infrastructure. COVID relief bill. Nothing went to COVID relief. These are very liberal agendas that are being forced down the American taxpayer's throat. And we see that businesses are already scared. You know, as a business owner, I can tell you, you know what we do. We work with businesses across our country. We do the back end for offices. And I only say that to know, this is why I know firsthand. When President Trump did his tax cuts, we saw our clients across the country give better benefits to their employees, richer benefits, start 401k plans, give bonuses, increase pay. Because, you know, employees are your most valuable commodity when you're in a business, right? It's your best asset. But when you start talking about record tax increases, you scare business. Business is not going to invest in their own business, whether it be technology or equipment. And they sure as heck aren't going to start giving raises out.
Yeah.
You know, we had a great roundtable, a women's leadership roundtable in Greenville. The governor put together. I sat with him as we talked to business leaders in the upstate that were women. And we heard, Deb, their biggest challenge is workers, getting workers back to work. And we're seeing that, and it's all our tax dollars are fighting us to get workers because the Biden administration is putting out more and more funding for people to sit home. And unemployment should be a bridge, not a career choice.
Right, right, right. You know, interesting that you put that out there, because I was at one of my favorite restaurants the other day, and she said, she's the owner, she is so angry that her employees, who have said to her literally on the phone, no, we're not coming back. No, we're making plenty of money. And I'm like, well, first of all, that's not really enough to live on. So obviously something else is going on out there. But I think the fact that it's gone on so long, we are getting back to work. Hey, but I do want to ask you a question, because Jacob and Chapin is very good about texting in. And he asked me this for you. I think it's time to ask Pam, what is McMaster going to do about this mandatory vaccine publicly? Yes, for now, we don't have to worry in South Carolina, but I believe we need to start speaking out against Biden's radical rhetoric on this now.
Well, that's really good. If the governor has spoken out publicly, he says he will not mandate vaccines. He will not have, there will not be vaccine passports here. You know, in the legislature, we had representatives from the FCC, I think Corbin on the Senate side right here, and Mike Burns, they were doing legislation to say that businesses couldn't fire people who didn't want to get the vaccine. They were putting things in place legislatively to do that, but the governor has spoken, and I agree. I mean, HIPAA, you know, to me, I'm just shocked, because HIPAA has been such a big part of all of our lives, Deb, and I know you're real active with your mom, and I am with my mom, and we take care of them all the time, and if we're not on their HIPAA form, that we can't ask a question, and nobody can tell us a question, right?
I know.
So you
crazy,
would think
crazy.
HIPAA would cover this.
Yeah. No, they're not going to do. They're not going to make it easy for us to take care of our own, Lieutenant Governor Evatt, because I think they want to be able to say, "Oh no, no, we'll take care of them," which should scare all of us.
I was going to say that's very scary, because my mother's 92, and if President Biden knocked on our door today and said he was going to take care of her, she would run for the hills, let me tell you.
Now, see, I can't say, I got to tell you, I can't say my mother's age on the radio, because she's been listening now. And if I do that, then she will be really unhappy with me, and Mother's Day is coming up. So, we got to be careful about that. So let me ask a few more questions about what's going on here in the state. I had Curtis Loftus on earlier just saying, folks, you have got to start talking to your legislators. And I actually had a legislator write in, because I'm just blown away that we cannot get this bill for women in sports. I'm so unhappy about it that I'm actually speechless, which, you know, is unusual.
Well, Deb, I'm with you. I was shocked. You know, I think Representative Trantham has, you know, felt yet another blow. She has worked really hard on this piece of legislation to get it through. Other states have passed it. You know, polling in our state shows that it polls even higher than the heartbeat bill.
Wow.
As what people want. I believe the last polling I heard was like 86% popularity on that. And, you know, I don't know the reason that it went down. It went down in full committee. It got voted down with a vote in committee again. But, you know, what I'm hearing is that the lawyers that were in that committee said that to pass it was just going to be another court challenge, that it needed to be written. The writing of it needed to be more fine-tuned so that, we wouldn't be involved in another legal battle. So that's what I'm hearing was the reason for it. But I'm like you. I think we need to protect our girls. We've done a lot to fight for them, right? We're just not going to throw up our arms now and let it all go to the wayside.
I agree. I'm going to give you this quick note that I got from Representative John McCravey from Greenwood. Good man. He said, "We have fought all session to get the Save Women's Sports Bill out. I passed it out of my subcommittee twice. It's been killed twice in full judiciary. This is a family caucus supported bill with 57 co-sponsors. We will not give up, and we plan to bring it up on the House floor during the budget process." And I'm going to ask him to call in and talk to me tomorrow. I appreciate you fighting for it, too. It makes no sense. It is nothing but a runaround. We need to stand up. I'm going to ask that you stay with me, Lieutenant Governor. And I am so glad to have Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evatt on the line with me. I asked her to stay over just a little bit. Seems like we never get enough time to talk through all the things we need to talk through. I do need to touch a few of you on the Big Rock text line. You're kind enough to write in. Let me see if I can get some of your comments before we go on here. HIPAA. Let me keep going here. Oh, by the way, Jacob and Chapin, Lieutenant Governor, does not want you to go on the national level. He wants you to stay here, says you are the coolest in the nation.
Oh, that's thank you so much, Jacob. That means a lot to me.
Okay. So what else is going on in Columbia? So I think we left. I was telling you, Curtis Loftus is like, folks, they're spending your money right and left, just like drunken sailors.
Well, you know, the governor has been calling for tax decreases his last three budgets. I think, unfortunately, the legislature this year, and Deb, I got to say, I go up to the House and Senate at least once a week. I try to, because I'm tackling being the new kid on the block like I did when I went into business, right? Learn all the players, really learn who they are, meet them, talk to them, develop my own friendships, relationships, and opinions. So I can tell you, I have never felt like the intense, like fury to get things done on a state level, like things that we are concerned about that the federal government will come in and try to inject into South Carolina to change the complexion of what we call home. And that is really what they've been working on, trying to make sure we button up our election laws, working on open carry, working on sanctuary state, you know, working on not ever having somebody, you know, we're blessed. We have a governor that really followed the guidelines of the Constitution, never closed down churches. You know, where there were bills that were put in to say if 20 years in the future, heaven forbid, we have a Democrat governor, they could never close down our churches. Like, we're putting these things into law. And so, you know, I like Curtis, he does a great job, but I'm telling you, I think the focus really has been the conservative values of South Carolina this legislative season, I think, more so than anything else. We are talking a lot about what are we doing with this money that's coming in. You know, the governor has always been about transparency, letting the people know. We're seeing that. You know, there was a story not long ago about earmarks that are being shown on the budget. That's coming from, you know, the governor insisting that if you have a special need, something that requires one-time money, and it's a special interest kind of thing, something in your community, you got to spell it out. And you got to come up with a good reason why we need it. And there are some good reasons why certain things around our state need some love and attention. But you got to be able to sell that to the people of South Carolina. You got to be able to sell that to the other legislators. And you got to be able to sell it to him so that his veto pen doesn't come out to get rid of it.
Yeah. So, you know, you sit at national tables. What are you hearing on a national level about Biden, the mess he made at the border, the fact he's taxing us more than we have? I think it's more than we even know. I got to tell you, I think a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. And yeah. I'm really curious what the vice president is up to, because she doesn't appear to be doing a whole lot. I'd be curious what you're hearing on a national level.
Well, people are scared. Like, if you're in a red state, so I'm involved in two national organizations, RLGA, which is the Republican Lieutenant Governors Association, and the NLGA, which is the national, which encompasses both Democrat and Republican Lieutenant Governors. That's a little harder one, Deb, for me. You and I have talked about that. It's really hard to go there because we are so polar opposite. Like, we're not just a little apart on issues. So, you know, when I'm sitting at RLGA with Jeanette Nunez from Florida, or, you know, Adam Gregg from Iowa, and we're talking, our states are humming along, right? We're getting people back to work. Kids are in school. Unemployment's, you know, dropping way down, figuring out how to keep our states the red states they are. But then, you know, NLGA has calls, and people are commending kids being parents a lot being allowed to keep kids virtual and home, and you know, we need to wear masks, and we need to stay closed down. It is so, it's almost like an alternate universe, Deb, where you sit there and you go, I mean, and we don't have to look far, do we? Look at North Carolina. I was with Mark Robinson at RLGA, and I mean, you talk about fighting a battle. He's got a Democrat governor. He's a Republican lieutenant governor. And there, you know, North Carolina has mask mandates in place. They still have restrictions in place. He said, if you go to Raleigh, half of Raleigh is still boarded up from the riots that we never heard about that happened there.
Wow.
He said, it is a mess. And, you know, he's pushing hard, but, you know, but then you have people, you know, like Juliana Stratton out of Illinois, and they're happy, right? Because the Biden administration is going to bail them out of the sinkhole that they have gotten themselves put in because of bad fiscal policies.
You know, and that and that's something no one's talking about. I mean, there is, I can find the number again if I put my glasses on, trillions of dollars going to areas who, you're right, bad fiscal policies. You spent yourself into a hole, and now you're asking somebody else to bail you out. Listen, I got a little note the other day, and I went online and checked it. There is a city council, I think it's Illinois, that I'd have to go back and check. There's a city council that, like, out of six members, five just got in trouble for embezzlement, and yet they're looking to the government to bail them out. Let me see if I can find it while I got you on the line. So what are we doing about stuff like this?
Well, Deb, you know what we have to do? We got to take back the House and Senate in 2022. You know, our senior senator, Senator Graham, said it. If we lose the Senate, we were going to be in a really bad spot. And that's where we find ourselves. So I think we have to double down. We got to work twice as hard to get out in 22. You know, we have an election in 2022, the governor and I. You know, I think our track record has been amazing here in South Carolina. We've heard that from the president, President Trump. But we have to get Republicans voted in.
Yeah.
If we take back the House and the Senate, that's how we're going to change what's happening.
All right. Very good. I'm so glad to have Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evatt join me this morning. And folks, I'm glad you joined us too.